You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Jessie Taima about her perspectives on people-pleasing. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Jessie Taima is an equine surgeon at Rhinebeck Equine in the Hudson Valley of New York. Her clinical interests include gastrointestinal and soft tissue surgery, wound management, sports medicine, and back disorders. Dr. Taima grew up in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and attended Amherst College for her undergraduate education, followed by Cornell University's College of Veterinary Medicine. She completed a rotating internship at Rhinebeck Equine, followed by a large animal surgical residency at the University of Georgia, and became a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Surgeons in 2019. She joined Rhinebeck Equine in 2023. Dr. Taima is the chair of the AAEP Early Career Committee and is both a Decade One and Starting Gate Group facilitator. She is passionate about providing dedicated mentorship for intern veterinarians and building a strong sense of community and collaboration through her practice. Dr. Taima is an avid CrossFitter, hiker, skier, and traveler. She thoroughly enjoys doting on her cats and miniature horses. Welcome, Dr. Taima.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grice. It's nice to be here.
You know, it seems to me over the course of my career that I have met so many veterinarians, and that includes a lot of equine veterinarians that are kind of like people pleasers. I know I've had my moments with it as well. What interested you in learning about people pleasing?
So it's interesting that you lead in that way, because I think I've always known that people-pleasing was this way of being that a lot of equine veterinarians can relate to. It shows up a lot in our work and then perhaps otherwise in our personal lives too. The why behind people-pleasing really clicked for me when I recognized that people-pleasing is kind of a subset or a manifestation of perfectionism. Reading more about the perfectionist styles, and that people-pleasing related to the style called the Parisian perfectionist, that really helped me better understand the motivating factors and the tendencies, and also like how to work on or heal the parts of us that tell us that we need to do this, that we need to show up and please others first and foremost in order to be worthy. I also think that people-pleasing shows up a lot in our work every day as equine veterinarians. I think we probably think about it most obviously with clients. Maybe that's where it's most tangible, but I think it's really present for many within clinical teams and between colleagues, and certainly with both mentors and bosses. It manifests differently for everyone. For example, whereas I think I do like an okay job of upholding boundaries and limiting my people-pleasing tendencies with clients, which I will add has definitely gotten me fired from some clients in the past, I have struggled with it more in the actual like workplace dynamic in teams and in those hierarchical professional structures, whereas I know other people struggle with it in other realms.
What would you say is like a definition of people pleasing and some of the circumstances that create this in people?
Sure. So I think that there are probably a lot of definitions out there. For me, it's just when someone behaves in a way that they're prioritizing the perceived needs and desires of someone else other than themselves. I think some people see this behavior as they're just being kind and helpful, but it's really more than that. It's about working really, really hard to try and keep everyone else around you comfortable, because somewhere along the way, we learn that being easygoing and selfless makes us more likable. Unlike kindness, though, people-pleasing is really based in fear, whether that's fear of disapproval, fear of conflict, fear of being seen as inadequate or selfish. This fear just drives us to kind of ignore our own inner needs, inner thoughts, and we sublimate ourselves in hopes of making others happy. we can really easily lose our sense of selves constantly just trying to fulfill the needs of others and to keep the peace. We can make a life out of just doing this. And we are caregivers as veterinarians, so we certainly have a tendency to lean this way. When we do this, though, we're ignoring our own boundaries simply in hopes of validation and acceptance. I think this driving fear is going to come from different places for different people, whether it's like kind of more of a scarcity mindset and fear of that scarcity, fear of not being enough, fear of not being accepted for who we are, and fear that our authentic wants and needs, just our truest selves, aren't worthy of that kind of recognition, of being nurtured, and of being accepted.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
That sounds like being so human.
Yeah, it's like
just so human to want to be liked and to feel sometimes unworthy, you know, like yeah. It's such a human condition.
It is a human condition, and I think a lot of us there's somewhere along the way, I don't think that toddlers act this way. Like, we learn somewhere along the way that we need to do this, that this is part of what we have to do to be able to be worthy of gaining that acceptance. And it's really right. Hard.
Yeah. Because seeking approval and validation from others, I mean, we all kind of do it to a certain degree, and it is a hallmark trait of a people pleaser. You know, when you want to step back from that and, you know, feel comfortable with approving of yourself. What are some ways to change that? What advice would you give people to get there?
This is so, so hard. I think that maybe a good place to start is just recognizing the toll that people pleasing can take, whether it be in professional life, personal life, all the same. I think that's a really good first step. Chronic people pleasing, it can just drive an endless cycle of stress and anxiety and keep us on constant high alert. Our nervous system just is always firing. So we know how and when to mold ourselves just to fit the needs and expectations of others. It's so hard to live a life where you're constantly guessing who you need to be and what you need to do to make everyone else happy. And there's really little to no authenticity in that as well. Many people pleasers are, I guess maybe I'll speak in the collective we here. Maybe we hear whispers of an inner voice telling us no all too often when we're just reflexively saying yes, but we need to start listening to this little voice. We squash it down, but I think that there's some validity to what it's saying. And then I think I think it just takes a lot of self-awareness and self-reflection to recognize this pattern in yourself, where and when it shows up. And what the driving fears are behind it. I think that this is a really good flex to reach for therapy if that's an option or a consideration, because I think that that type of vulnerability allows us to develop more self-awareness in these spaces. Once the fears are identified, then they can be further deconstructed to understand that probably they're coming from a place where basic needs are going unmet or they're unrecognized. We really need to learn that it's absolutely okay and valid and actually kind of required to have needs, to have wants, to have boundaries and to have dreams and desires. These things, they make up who we are, and learning to ask on behalf of them, I think, is brave. I think it's valid. And I think we all need to learn how to do it. I think we're all just scared about being rejected in this space, but we need to trust that for those in our circle, those around us, those who truly care, who see and care for us for who we are, and not because we are just filling this role in their life with our people-pleasing tendencies, they want this for us. It's terrifying to make this leap, but I think it makes for much more authentic relationships and exchanges on the backside when we can lean into this space more.
I think the other thing that you find, two things, as you get older, and you get more experienced with self-reflection and you get more self-aware, you naturally start to listen more to your own needs. And so that's sort of some, you know, hope for people that are struggling, even though getting old isn't that fun all the time. That's one of the benefits. The other thing is many of us worry that if we don't please other people and we don't do what they want, that these horrible things are going to happen. Things are going to be much worse. Or if we state our own needs, God forbid, you know, all hell's going to break loose and things will be worse. And I would say if you take very small steps toward stating your, that are not the big things, but just, and that, you know, there isn't an earthquake, you may be able to teach yourself that it is safe to do that. And speaking of safety, difficult conversations, conflict, are so scary for people pleasers because they feel like, God, if they don't just fold, that they won't be loved anymore. What about tips for facing those situations?
So this is similarly tough. And I really love what you say about small steps, because I think we build up so much fear in this space that we have to trust ourselves to take the smallest steps. And as we see what kind of progress we can make with small steps, we can slowly take bigger steps. And I think I'm going to reflect on that here as well. Conflict and challenging conversations are inherently going to be hard and uncomfortable for people pleasers because they're inherently not agreeable and they're not always going to feel safe. And I think that place of safety is so important for people pleasers in when you're talking about interpersonal relationships. Healthy conflict, though, requires being able to elaborate on a point of dissonance, and it has to happen sometimes. I think for many people pleasers, these moments can also come perhaps after a period of growing resentment. So the issue at hand can feel really, really charged. I know I have certainly felt that way in the past. I think finding a way to speak on behalf of your truth, both respectfully and honestly, though, is really important. We cannot help ourselves, and other people certainly can't help us if we aren't honest with ourselves about the issue at hand, about why it's a problem and how it is affecting us, and perhaps to brainstorm like alternative solutions as well, I think is also important there. I think it requires a lot of courage to recognize that the conflict is not inherently a product of us being inadequate, because I think we put that blame on ourselves when we have these moments of conflict. And the kindest thing that we can do for ourselves is just to be honest, first with ourselves, then with others, and to do this in a respectful and thoughtful way. We can't control how others are going to react. And I think that's scary because one of the reasons that we people please is we have these behaviors because we get this controlled response out of people when we have these needs and it's positive. But we can choose how we're showing up, how we talk to ourselves in these spaces. And I guess perhaps this isn't like the most practical advice, but I think it's meaningful as perhaps maybe like a perspective shift on this. And just it applies in a lot of different situations too.
You know, I've sometimes advised my husband, in fact, because he's a little bit of a people pleaser, to use some phrases to just soften when you're going to speak your truth. You're going to say something that somebody doesn't want to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I say, just start with, I'm going to disappoint you, but I won't be able to whatever you just asked me to do.
I love that.
You just get it out there. I'm going to disappoint you.
And yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
It rips the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. And another one is, I promised myself I would take better care of myself this week, so I won't be able to go out with you and stay out all night. I promised myself that I wasn't going to spend more money this month, you know, like I promised myself. And then the third one is, I know you want what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And so, blah, blah, blah. They're just sort of phrases that people can use to get a little space to say their truth. And it's really hard to come back to any of those aggressively, so it provides safety.
Yeah, I think that that safety part is so key because it's this fear of of the unknown, of being reprimanded, of being, I think it's this fear that all of our fears built up in this space are going to be recognized because we're bringing up this conflict or addressing it.
Right. Or that we're being selfish or bad or not nice or all of that. So it can be hard to speak your truth. There's no doubt about it. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I think that there's so much, and there are probably some really great books out there. I think Brené Brown speaks a fair amount about this. I think I've really liked her messages about this. But other than that, I just hope that everyone understands that they're really, really not alone. If this is something that challenges you, there's nothing wrong with you. You're definitely not a bad person if you lean towards these tendencies. But you might just not be the best person that you can be to yourself because you're so worried about your constant pleasing and focused on others' perception versus your own needs and wants. I think just recognizing these behavior patterns and, like you said, making just tiny, small, tangible steps towards behavior adjustment is the only way forward, because we are just all up against years and years of conditioning that has told us to be and act this way. It can be done, but these processes also aren't linear. So just continue to hold kindness for yourself in that journey. And I think that's all, Amy.
That's going to be so helpful for people, you know, just the small steps and knowing that although pleasing other people can really give you a sense of control, and many of us want control in order to feel safe. And taking those small little courageous steps to not be in control all the time, but instead to be authentic in how we feel, you know?
Yeah.
And little steps can take you a really long way.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't make big changes without tiny steps first.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Taima. And thank you all who have joined us today listening to the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change, and take small steps.